from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here's the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo issues presidential regulation on health insurance for ministers' retirement. Formas and RRI cooperate to socialize free nutritious meals. And here is the news in detail. President Joko Widodo issued the presidential regulation number 121 of 2024 on the state ministers after duty healthcare insurance, regulating healthcare insurance for the state ministers after leaving services. As a copy of the regulation seen on the official website in Jakarta on Thursday, it stated that the state ministers who have finished carrying out cabinet duties are given continuation of healthcare insurance. Similar provisions are also given to the cabinet secretaries who have finished carrying out cabinet duties. The healthcare insurance is also given to the spouses of ministers who retire. Golden Indonesian Community Forum, or FORMAS, signed a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, with Radio Republik Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday. The signing aims to socialize the programs of the President and Vice President-elect Prabowo Subianto and Gibran Rakabuming Raka. FORMAS Chairperson Yohanes Handoyo Budi Sejati has said that the main focus of the collaboration is disseminating the information about free nutritious meal program, because the program is one of the upcoming government's program that will immediately be implemented.
Jadi nanti setelah MOU ini, tim saya.
So after this MOU, my team from FORMAS and from RRI will sit together for the program. But the most important program that we have to guard is about free meals, because this is what the president will carry out in the program soon. And we have to guard this from the beginning. Moreover, Yohanes also claimed that the free nutritious meal program, which is planned to be provided twice a day, is effective in improving the immune system of Indonesian school children, as Indonesia hasn't paid much attention to nutrition of school children. He believed that in implementing this program, the President-elect Prabowo has oriented the program towards improving the quality of Indonesian humans so that the program can be evaluated. The Director General of Immigration of the Indonesian Ministry of Law and Human Rights inaugurated cooperation with an immigration service company, VFS Global, to streamline the process of applying for and issuing visas for Indonesia. Director General of Immigration Silmi Karim pointed out that her site and the VFS Global not only cooperate in services, but also increase the interest of foreigners to visit Indonesia through various promotional programs. Silmi said that VFS Global's network of cooperation with airlines allows foreigners to buy plane tickets while obtaining visas. And the cooperation, according to her, will take Indonesia one step further in implementing online-based services. The Indonesian warship Dr. Wahadin Sudirohusodo 991 prepared several traditional dances and typical Indonesian cuisines to be displayed to the public in four South Pacific countries, namely Fiji, Vanuatu, Solomon, and Papua New Guinea. Chief of Staff of the Fleet Command 3 Navy First Admiral Singgi Sugiarto directly reviewed the preparation of the warship docked in Sorong, Southwest Papua on Wednesday in a series of voyages to South Pacific with the Pacific Port Visit Task Force 2024. Head of the Corps Armada No. 3 Information Service, Lieutenant Colonel Ajik Sismianto, said that the warship will continue to voyage from Sorong to the first country in the Pacific, namely Solomon, on Friday, October the 18th. The top humanitarian official of the United Nations accused Israel on Wednesday of blocking the delivery of the desperately needed aid to Gaza, and the U.S. ambassador demanded that its government step up efforts to tackle the Palestinian territory's intolerable catastrophic humanitarian crisis. As reported by ArabNews.com, Acting Humanitarian Chief Joyce Nsia and U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield stepped up the pressure on Israel at an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council on the escalating humanitarian emergency, especially in northern Gaza. The council meeting, called by Algeria, the Arab representative of the council, followed the U.S. warning to Israel to boost aid efforts dramatically or risk losing funds for weapons from its main supplier. The Biden administration gave Israel 30 days to take a number of actions, including sending 350 trucks with food and other aid into Gaza every day. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has presented MPs with a long-awaited victory plan that aims to strengthen his country's position enough to end the war with Russia. As quoted by BBC.com, he told the parliament in Kyiv, the plan could finish the war, which began with Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, next year. The key elements include a formal invitation to join NATO, the lifting by allies of bans on long-range strikes with Western-supplied weapons deep into Russia, a refusal to trade Ukraine's territories and sovereignty, and the continuation of incursion into Russia's Western Kursk region. The Kremlin dismissed the plan, with a spokesman saying Kyiv needed to sober up. Addressing MPs on Wednesday, Zelensky also criticized China, Iran, and North Korea for their backing of Russia and described them as a coalition of criminals. He also said that Russian President Vladimir Putin had gone mad, describing him as banned on waging wars. Thailand's government still wants to see a higher inflation target that will push up prices, the finance minister said on Thursday after the central bank surprise interest rate cut a day earlier. Wednesday's rate reduction will help increase liquidity and confidence, and Pichai Chunhavajira told reporters. As quoted by CNN.com, the central bank expectedly cut its key rate by 25 basis points to 2.25%, the first reduction since 2020, following repeated calls by the government to ease policy to help revive Southeast Asia's second largest economy. According to Pichai, the central bank should consider the trend of interest rates in other countries when deciding rates. A listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Pesta Indonesia Fukuoka 2024 took place at Tenjin Central Park in Fukuoka, Japan from October 12 until October 13. According to Antara, on Tuesday, October 15, the event featured Indonesian arts, cuisine, and cultural performances. The Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo reported that the event drew more than 2,000 visitors, including local residents. Indonesia's Deputy Chief to Japan, Maria Renata Hutagalung, mentioned that Pesta Indonesia Fukuoka 2024 attracted not only the Indonesians living in Japan, but also the locals. She also explained that the event was held to celebrate the Indonesia-Japan Friendship Day with a range of activities intended to introduce Indonesian culture. Maria stated that this event drew locals' attention to Indonesian culture and cuisine. Even the Japanese who attended the event set up food stalls for popular Indonesian dishes like rendang and nasi goreng. She also stated that this event plays a crucial role in strengthening bilateral relations as well as opening opportunities to cooperation for both nations. During the event, the embassy provided services to issue 501 passports for Indonesian citizens, along with consular assistance, immigration information, and other services. The embassy also conducted outreach on immigration policies and distributed Indonesian cultural-themed souvenirs. Immigration Attaché Arya Pradana Angga Kara hoped that the participation of the Indonesian embassy in Tokyo will make it easier to provide services for Indonesian living in Fukuoka and nearby areas.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event of Loma Prieta earthquake on October 17, 1989. The Loma Prieta earthquake was a major earthquake that shook the San Francisco Bay Area, Northern California, at 5:04 p.m. local time. The earthquake occurred due to the shift of the Northern San Andreas Fault. The earthquake lasted for 15 seconds with a magnitude of 6.9 on the Mommen magnitude. The Loma Prieta earthquake killed 63 people, injured 3,757 people, and left 12,000 people homeless. We turn to the commemoration of the International Day for the Reduction of Poverty. Through Resolution 47196, adopted on December 22, 1992, the UN General Assembly designated October 17th as the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. The date was chosen because on October 17, 1987, more than 100,000 people gathered in Paris, France, to honor the victims of extreme poverty, violence, and hunger. They declare that poverty is a violation of human rights and affirm the need to unite to ensure that these rights are respected. The commemoration of the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty aims to encourage all countries to work actively in poverty alleviation effort by taking steps toward sustainable development. Not only governments, people living in poverty are also expected to be involved in identifying long-term resolutions to the problems they are experiencing. We end today in history with the commemoration of World Trauma Day. World Trauma Day is celebrated every October 17th. Trauma is an abnormal state of mind or behavior as a result of mental distress or physical injury. The commemoration of World Trauma Day aims to raise awareness, among other things, about the impact of deep trauma on individuals and communities. World Trauma Day was established in New Delhi, India in 2011 in reaction to the high number of deaths caused by traffic accidents in India. This high death rate is a wake-up call for policy makers and medical practitioners in India and around the world. They recognize the importance of raising awareness of trauma, injury, and emergencies. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on Education Ministry says climate change into curriculum. The Education Standard Curriculum and Assessment Agency, BSKAP, of the Education, Culture, Research and Technology Ministry had arranged a climate change education guidance, an answer to the climate changer issue. In an official statement on Monday, the agency said the guidance was made in collaboration with many stakeholders. The ministry's head for curriculum, Curriculum Center and Learning Team, Yogi Anggraina, said the material about climate change will not be a new subject for students, but will be part of intracurricular, co-curricular, and extracurricular. The intracurricular is the ongoing learning activity, while co-curricular is an activity that supports intracurricular, such as visits to museums or other educational places. Then, extracurricular is an activity to develop students' interests and self-development, such as sport, art, or religious activities. According to Anggraina, the theme has been included in some subjects where the students will indirectly learn about climate change. The Education, Culture, Research and Technology Ministry also made a guidance containing various examples of good practices as educational aids for an educational institution. It was expected that climate change education would become a joint movement. Meanwhile, Head of Environment and Forestry Generation Development Center of the Environment and Forestry Ministry, Lukmi Purwandari, gave her appreciation for the Education Ministry's guidance. According to Lukmi, the guidance is necessary for now and in the future. She also explained that with a climate change education, students will get various knowledge about the danger potential from climate change and the potentials of their region. Earlier, Head of Education Standard, Curriculum and Assessment Agency Anindito Aditomo stated that the effort to create climate change aware manpower has been included in the independent curriculum. Anindito also conveyed to date, the climate change issue is yet to be fully included in the curriculum and people's awareness about climate change still varies. Therefore, the Education, Culture, Research and Technology Ministry will focus on the human capital, such as integrating climate change contents into the independent curriculum, including studying climate change in higher education and vocational education. The next plan is modifying school building standardization and the use of physical special fund, eco-friendly campus management, and low carbon transformation in the offices of the Education, Culture, Research and Technology Ministry. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
wajar itu lelah, bukanlah menyerah. Terus bergerak tak terikat, terus melangkah tanpa reda, bebas dan berharap, berubah bertahan. Terus bergerak tak terikat, terus melangkah tanpa reda, bebas.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, today's episode of Indonesian Wonder comes to greet you with the title Tanjung Boleng Tourist Village in East Nusa Tenggara. Listeners, when visiting Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara, it's not just about visiting Komodo Island, the natural habitat of Komodo dragons. You can also embark on an adventure in Tanjung Boleng Tourist Village. In the village, you can paddle a kayak while exploring the mangrove forest in Rangko Hamlet. Tanjung Boleng Village is located along the northern coast of Boleng District, West Manggarai Regency. The village can be reached from the town of Labuan Bajo with just about an hour drive. The road is now paved, making it more accessible for tourists. Listeners, if you are interested in kayaking, there are two options you can try: a medium trek for 30 minutes and a long trek for an hour. A kayak is a small human-powered boat, usually with a closed front and back, leaving just a body-sized opening. The attraction developed by the West Manggarai Office of Tourism, Creative Economy and Culture in collaboration with the World Wildlife Fund, or WWF, offers an experience of enjoying the mangrove forest's natural beauty. Tourists participating in this activity are required to help preserve the mangrove environment in Rangko Hamlet by keeping it free from plastic waste. Tourists should bring their own water bottles when kayaking and should not leave any plastic waste after finishing the activity. Listeners, besides the mangrove forest, Tanjung Boleng Tourist Village also has Rangko Cave. The natural cave features stalactites and stalagmites. Inside, there is a pool with clear water that reveals the stalagmites at the bottom.
You can enjoy the refreshing water of Ranco Cave by swimming in the pool. Interestingly, the pool water is salty, as it comes from the seawater that enters the cave through narrow caves. Listeners, that was today's episode of Indonesian Wonder. Goodbye.
Tentang Nala dan hati yang sedang berbunga, malam nanti ada janji yang ditunggunya. Dipilihnya baju terpantas dan bergaya, tasabannya ingin segera malam tiba. Tuju tepat, pesan singkat diterimanya. Kabar dari yang ditunggu jadi tak bisa bertemu. Lama-lama rasa sulit disuka, bagi Nala malam ini istimewa. Sedih dia kembali masuk kamarnya, tentang Nala dan kemurungan hatinya. Nala figur sederhana, tak ramai kelilingnya, 92 lahirnya. Hari besar baginya bila melihat benih cinta, bagi Nala itu langka. Lama Nala merasa sulit disuka, bagi Nala malam ini istimewa. Sedih dia kembali masuk kamarnya, tentang Nala dan kemurungan hatinya. Sebuah pesan kepadanya, Nala bertanya kapan ada waktu lain lagi.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miscellany.
Dear listeners, welcome back to today's episode of Miscellany. Today we are going to talk about literacy applications, Pintar Asu. Listeners, young Indonesians have again made achievement in the international arena, where Asri Hapsari, a student from the Bogor Agricultural Institute, or IPB, won first place in the Innovations video and third place in the Best Presentations in the 2024 International Youth Excursions Network Competition. She and her team developed a literacy application for children called Pintar Asu. Asri and her team feel proud because the results of Indonesian children's ideas can beat participants from various countries. She hopes that her achievement can inspire other students to display their innovations on the world stage. Listeners, the Pintar Asu literacy application was created by Asri and her team because they are concerned that there are still many children in Indonesia who do not have good access to literacy, especially children from underprivileged families. The Pintar Asu application contains guidelines for parents in teaching their children to read and write. The method suggested by Asri and the team in the application was interactive and fun. This application is inclusive and can be used for free by the wider community. Listeners, in the International Youth Excursion Network 2024 competition, Asri managed to defeat 175 participants from Malaysia and Indonesia. The International Youth Excursion Network is an event that gathered innovations and creative ideas of young people. In addition to demonstrating innovation, each participant was also given an understanding of culture and history. That was today's episode of Miscellany, and bye-bye.
Thank you. cerita burukmu takkan ku tambahkan bumbu apapun. Tak sama seperti saat ku ceritakan baikmu. Kalau suatu saat ku cerita burukmu takkan ku tambahkan bumbu apapun. Tak sama seperti saat ku ceritakan baik. Cerita burukmu takkan ku tambahkan bumbu apapun. Tak sama seperti saat ku ceritakan baikmu. Yang sebagian besar tak benar begitu.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we'll play a song by Reza Artamevia. Strong character in her voice and her ability to sing were seen since Reza Artamevia was a backing vocal of Dewa 19, a top Indonesian band of the 90s. Ahmad Dhani, the spearhead of Dewa 19, became Reza's producer for her debut album. In 1995, Reza's first ever album entitled Keajaiban or Miracle was met but released in 1997 after some change in the arrangement. This album has the main single hits entitled Pertama or The First and Satu Yang Tak Bisa Lepas or The Inseparable One. Created by Ahmad Dhani, Satu Yang Tak Bisa Lepas is about someone who still loves their ex even after breaking up. Listener, here is Satu Yang Tak Bisa Lepas by Reza Artamevia. Happy listen.
Ku simpan masa demi masa, tak mudah tu terlupa saat kau masih di sisi hingga saat kau dengan.
Bawalah kembali jiwa yang luka.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.